a little boy named Sparky. At least that's what his classmates called him. He hated the nickname, but the nickname came in honor of a comic strip horse named Sparkplug. And so several of this little boy's classmates called him Sparky. That was the least of his worries. School was very tough for Sparky. His favorite subjects were recess and lunch. He failed every single subject in eighth grade. High school was no better. He flunked algebra, English, Latin, and physics. To this day, he holds the record for the lowest physics marks in his school. He wasn't successful at sports either. He made the school's golf team, but because of his poor play, it cost his team the championship. He didn't do very well in friendships either. No one seemed to notice him. In fact, he was astonished if a classmate spoke to him. He was so afraid of rejection that he never asked a girl out on a date. Instead, he devoted himself to the one thing that he really, really enjoyed. He really enjoyed drawing cartoons. He would doodle on binders and scribblers, and by the time he was a senior in high school, he did get up the nerve to submit some of his comic strips to the yearbook staff to see if they'd print them in the yearbook. He was rejected. After graduating from high school and wanting to use his artistic talent, he wrote a letter to Walt Disney Studios, and they sent back a form letter asking him to submit a drawing. In fact, they gave him specifics. They asked that he draw a funny cartoon of a man repairing a clock by shoveling the springs and gears back inside it. And so he drew that. He submitted it. And he received another form letter spelling out rejection. He was disappointed. Looking in a mirror one day, he smiled with the realization that in a weird sort of way, his life was kind of funny. Kind of like a cartoon character. Then a thought hit him. Why not tell his own story? Why not draw cartoons of the misadventures of a little boy loser, a chronic underachiever? He had no idea where his idea would take him. And this boy who failed the eighth grade, the young artist whose work was rejected by his own yearbook staff, is Charles Monroe Sparky Schultz, creator of the Peanuts comic strip, and the little boy whose kite never quite flies. We know him as Charlie Brown. But from this incident in the life of Sparky Schultz, I want to underscore this lesson. Failure need not be fatal. Failure need not be fatal. We've been studying the book of Joshua, and I invite you to open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 8. Joshua chapter 8. Joshua chapter 6, there's a tremendous victory for the people of Israel. And they didn't even have to fight a battle, really, because God caused the walls of Jericho to fall flat, and so the city was easily overtaken. There was victory. Chapter 7, however, victory was followed by defeat. They were defeated by people in a much smaller city called Ai. And they were so confident, the Israelites were, that it'd be easy to overtake, being a smaller city, and they only sent a small portion of their army. But that army was turned around and chased by the people of Ai. So they are fearful now. They cry out to God. Even Joshua, the leader, is not understanding. And why had God brought them this far only to die? But God informs him it's because of sin in the camp that they've been unsuccessful, that they've been defeated. It was Achan who had taken some of the devoted things, the accursed things, and had, because of the sin, God had caused them to be defeated. That's why victory in Joshua chapter 6 at Jericho is followed by defeat at Ai. But the question for us is, can there be victory where there was once defeat? That brings us to Joshua chapter 8. And the answer is yes. Because Joshua chapter 8 has to do with this city of Ai again. And I want to read a few verses in the beginning of Joshua chapter 8. And then underscore what I think is the main difference now. The Lord said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid nor be dismayed. Take all the people of war with you and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into your hand the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. And you shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king. Only its spoil and its cattle you shall take as booty for yourselves. Lay an ambush for the city behind it." So Joshua arose and all the people of war to go up against Ai. And Joshua chose 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them away by night. I want to stop there. I believe the main difference now in Joshua chapter 8 and the key to victory where they had once suffered defeat, now they're all ears as far as listening to God. In Joshua chapter 7, they make some assumptions and Joshua is sending spies and they overconfidently go and try to take the city in the way they thought they should. When there was that sin of Achan, and that's what caused the defeat. But now, though they've been very fearful that 36 men have been killed and they'd been defeated so by a much smaller army, though they were fearful, now they're listening to God. And so when God says to Joshua, "Do not be afraid, don't be dismayed, take the army, go up against Ai again," now they're following God's leading. They're doing God's will. And that is the major difference between Joshua chapter 7 and Joshua chapter 8. The army is deployed. The plan is established. It involved an ambush that was set. And basically they have this group of soldiers laying wait in ambush. And Joshua and a large part of the army, they walk in the front door. They go towards the front door, if you will. And when the people of Ai prepare for battle, Joshua and that group flees as if they're scared again. And the people of Ai come out, the men come out and attack them. When they're drawn away from the city, the other part of the Israelite army comes in, sets the city on fire. And so they capture and defeat the army between them. There was victory where there was once defeat. And folks, that principle can also be true in our own lives. There can be victory where there was once defeat, even in our own lives. To show how that can happen, let's go into the text some more and draw out some lessons on how we can be victorious at our Ai. Number one, yesterday's loss doesn't doom today. Just because we made a bad mistake in the past, it doesn't impact our present to the point where we can't come back. Israel had suffered a humiliating defeat at Ai, but it didn't mean that they would never be victorious again. We make mistakes. We disappoint our family. We may fail at something, even be drawn away from God for a while. But it doesn't mean that we have to surrender and succumb and just wallow in our defeat. Someone made this wish in a poem. "I wish there was some wonderful place called the land of beginning again, where all our mistakes and all our heartaches and all our poor selfish grief might be dropped like a shabby old coat at the door and never put on again. I wish there were some wonderful place called the land of beginning again." But folks, that's exactly what we have in Christ. The opportunity to begin again. The opportunity to have our past mistakes washed away under the blood of Jesus and forgiven. And the opportunity to start anew. If anyone is in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Failure need not be fatal. Yesterday's losses don't doom today. Number two, don't stumble over the same stone twice. Don't stumble over the same stone twice. Joshua and Israel made sure they had corrected the Achan problem. And now again, they're all ears, wanted to do things the way God instructed instead of making their own plans. They're determined to do things according to the word of the Lord. Joshua 8 and verse 8 is an example. And it will be when you have taken the city that you shall set the city on fire. According to the commandment of the Lord, you shall do. See, I have commanded you. And that phrase is found more than once in this chapter. And again, I think that's the key. Now they're listening carefully. Now they're careful about their obedience. They don't want to stumble over the same stone twice. They don't want to make the same mistake again. Let's go to the end of the chapter, Joshua chapter 8. This is after the victory at Ai, and there's something that Joshua does that is something that had been done before for the people of Israel. And to me, it's like he's renewing the covenant or reestablishing their commitment to doing God's will. Notice verse 30 of Joshua 8. Now Joshua built an altar to the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded the children of Israel. As it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones over which no man has wielded any iron tool. And they offered it on burnt offerings. They offered on it burnt offerings to the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. And there in the presence of the children of Israel, Joshua wrote on the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he had written. Then all Israel, with their elders and officers and judges, stood on either side of the ark before the priests, the Levites, who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord, the stranger as well as he who was born among them. Half of them were in front of Mount Gerizim, and half of them were in front of Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded before that they should bless the people of Israel. And afterward, he read all the words of the law, the blessings and the cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses had commanded which Joshua did not read before all the congregation of Israel, with the women, the little ones, and the strangers who were living among them. I think they've learned their lesson, don't you? And now Joshua is doing something Moses had done before. And in this valley between these two mountains and the people standing on both sides, he reads again the law, the blessings and the cursings. He reminds them, if you do what God says, these are the blessings that will pour out on you. But if you refuse, then the curses come, the punishment comes. And they knew about that all too well. Burton Kaufman commented, "The disastrous failure at Ai had surely taught the whole nation an effective lesson, that if they obeyed God, he would bless them. If they did not obey him, they would suffer." We make mistakes, but it's foolish to keep making the same mistakes over and over. The Greeks used to say that stumbling is a human flaw, but it's disgraceful to stumble against the same stone twice. I read the story about two hunters that went up into remote places in Canada to hunt for elk. And they were successful, and they actually killed four elk. And they came back to the plane that had brought them there, and the pilot saw the four elk, and he said, "There's no way we can carry all of you passengers and all four of these elk in this small plane." Well, one of the hunters protested and said, "Well, this plane is exactly like the one that we flew in last year, And we carried 6 elk in that plane. And so the pilot reluctantly agreed to try. They loaded up all their belongings, including 4 elk in this plane. Unfortunately, the plane didn't have sufficient power to climb out of the valley with all that weight, and it crashed. And as they stumbled from the wreckage, one hunter asked the other if he had any idea where they were. "Well, I'm not sure," the response came, "but I think we're about 2 miles from where we crashed last year." Don't stumble over the same stone twice. Don't repeat the mistakes that you made in the past. Rather, we should learn from our mistakes. It's been said we should forget our mistakes, but remember the lessons they taught us. Hugh White is credited with these words: "When you make a mistake, don't look back at it long. Take the reason of the thing into your mind and then look forward. Mistakes are lessons of wisdom. The past cannot be changed. The future is yet in your power." Don't stumble over the same stone twice. Number 3, champions get up one more time than they fall. Joshua and the elders of Israel, we read in chapter 7, after they're defeated at Ai, they cover themselves in dust, they're mourning and they're crying out to God, "Why? Why? Why have we suffered defeat?" But having learned their lesson now, Joshua and all Israel are cooperating with God now. And they're ready to go with His blessing back into battle again. When we stumble and fall, we need to get back up and start serving the Lord again. I suppose of all the apostles, Peter is one of the favorites. And perhaps it's because many of us can identify so readily with the Apostle Peter. In Scripture, we find some of the most beautiful expressions of faith from his lips. But we also see in his life some of the greatest blunders. But he was a champion who got up one more time than he fell. Luke 22, the Lord turned and looked at Peter, and this is after he's denied Christ 3 times and the rooster crows. And I imagine Peter kind of, when he hears the rooster crow, he's kind of looking around, and all of a sudden he catches the eyes of Jesus looking straight at him. Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you'll deny me 3 times. So Peter went out and wept bitterly. He's so ashamed. He's heartbroken. He realizes the error that he's made and that his boasting had been in vain. He fell, and he fell hard. But with the Lord's help, he bounced back up. He got back up. If you're defeated and despondent, remember that Ai shows us that there can be victory where there was once defeat. History tells us that Sir Edmund Hillary was the first person to ever climb Mount Everest. Did you know that he failed the first time that he tried? But England was so proud of Sir Edmund Hillary that they had an event to recognize him. In fact, the Queen of England knighted him on this occasion. And in this setting where they met for the knighting of Sir Edmund Hillary and to recognize his great attempt, there was a huge picture of Mount Everest in the background. And the people gave him a standing ovation for even daring to attempt the climb. But when he rose up, he shouted to this picture of Mount Everest. He said, "Mount Everest, you have defeated me once, and you might defeat me again. But I'm coming back again and again, and I'm going to win because you can't get any bigger, Mount Everest, and I can." And go back he did, until finally he did climb the mountain all the way to the top. And folks, the reality of life is that we learn more through our failures than we do our successes. We learn more from our failures than we do our successes. In every failure, there's the opportunity for us to learn something and to grow from it and to grow to become stronger people. And that's certainly what God desires. One person said, if you've made mistakes, even serious ones, there's always another chance for you. What we call failure is not the falling down, but the staying down. Remember, champions rise up one more time than they fall. Fourthly and finally, be sure to pick the right team. Be sure to pick the right team. I've read that Abraham Lincoln was once asked during the Civil War, are you sure God is on your side? Are you sure God is on your side? His reply was, I'm not so concerned if God is on our side, but whether we are on God's side. The Israelites learned they've got to be sure to be on God's side if they're going to be victorious. And the same message is for you and for me today. We've got to make sure we're on God's side, that we're doing His will and not our own. Because we know from Scripture, God will win in the end. And our concern needs to be, I want to be on His side. In all these things, we're more than conquerors, Paul says, through Him who loved us. He also says, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. But thanks be to God, he echoes, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus has won the victory. And if we align ourselves with Him, we'll share in His victory. Our victory over our AIs are found in Christ. The question remains, are we on His side? Are we on His side? Are we in Him? Are we following Him? There may be some AIs in your life that are weighing you down. Realize that there can be victory where there was once defeat. If you need to respond in obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ and be baptized into Christ so that your sins, your AIs, your past mistakes can be washed away, we hope and pray you'll do that even tonight. If you need the prayers of the church as you're struggling with some AI tonight, please let that be known. And won't you come right now as we stand and sing.